Blog Talk Radio.
On that report, I heard that she had a bruise on her face.
You say that they have taken the other children away from the home. Do you know why the children have been taken away from them?
Abuse and, I think, either neglect or endangerment.
Now she says she running. Don't care where she going. Long as she stays two steps ahead of them monsters. Say she gonna keep running. But them monsters faster than lightning, baby. No, you ain't gonna outrun them. Now he say he running too. Don't care where he running to. All he know is them monsters can't catch him if he stay on the move. So he keep it moving. But them monsters faster than lightning, baby. They catch you, don't care how fast you moving.
This child does not even have love from her own parents.
They didn't have a good relationship. What do you mean? What happened?
How could a mother or grandmother turn their back on their own child? Ralph pretty much ignored Aaliyah. She was like a pain in the butt to him. She was last seen.
We all want answers. Where this beautiful little girl went missing to?
Was he in trouble?
He's great for family.
So he met his father. He didn't really get to have too much of a relationship with him.
Relationship with his stepdad. At first I got along, but then when he and I got more and more into our addiction, Colton probably thought that I tuned out.
Do you think that Colton was upset about this drug and alcohol use? Did he ever confront you or talk to you about these things?
One time, and I lied. That was one of our last conversations.
Yeah, they say they're running. Careless where they going. But all I know is we gotta bring them home so them monsters can't harm them. Cause I hear it storming. And if monsters faster than lightning, baby, they may not have till morning. So let's bring them home. Gotta bring them home. Cause I know ain't no good gonna come looking for them. So let's bring them home. Gotta bring them home. Cause I know ain't nothing good for out here all alone. So we got to bring them home.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's been a while, and here's Rachel Jackson out here in North Carolina. And guess what? We're not doing a missing person tonight. And everyone's like, but this is the missing person show. But there's a reason we're not doing missing people tonight. We're going to be doing the bully epidemic in America, and I have some very wonderful people coming on our show tonight. So this is a show, a lot of times I will have you take your kids out of the room. This is a show I'm encouraging all of you as a family to sit down and turn the show on together, because tonight you're going to hear from families that have lost their children to being bullied in school. We have Lori Jones that tells her son's story about bullying and assault, and he now has PTSD at the age of 10. We will also have Danielle Green on, and her daughter was being bullied and harassed, and she and her daughter was waiting at the bus stop, and she committed suicide. Also, we have Tanya, which will tell her son's story of bullying and the issues with administration as a bus driver. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of questions and everything out there on what we're going to be doing and who we're going to be talking to. And I am going to open the lines. And, yes, our switchboard is full already. So bear with me. You got the blonde behind the switchboard. But the first amazing lady that I'm going to bring on, we've just gotten to know each other pretty well lately, and she is the mother of Johnny. She's going to tell Johnny's story, and she's also one of the biggest mama bears out there that you could ever meet. And she is a nationwide advocate, and her name is Michelle Cox, and I'm bringing her on the air here in just a minute. But before I do, I want to remind everyone to join us this year at Warrior Jam 2013 in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We're going to have a poker run for all you biker fans out there. We're going to have four stops. The last one will end up at the festival park. So we're going to have a blast with that. We're going to have a car show. We're going to have all-day music and all-night concert. Plus, we're inviting any of you nonprofit organizations out there to join us. We have a very minimal vendor application fee for your booth, and it's a perfect opportunity to come out and show people what resources you have to offer. One of the people that are going to be there this year, if we have our way, is going to be Michelle Cox and our new program that we're starting called Warriors Against Bullying. Welcome to the show, Michelle. You're on the air. Well, I thought she was on the air. Just one moment. Let's try and get her on the air again. And we do have a clogged up switchboard tonight, so it's going to happen. I apologize. Michelle, do we have you now?
Yeah, I'm here. I just love you so much, Rachel, and I know everybody else does, for you supporting bullies, bully victims. And I know what you're doing is so important because the kids are running away. And I know a lot of the reason that the kids are running away is not just... Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Just have people... Go ahead. Go ahead, Michelle.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of kids running away because there's a bully issue in school also. It's a huge issue. Why I became a student's rights advocate is before entering our son in public school, he trusted authority and he had no emotional issues. Our 9-year-old son was repetitively assaulted in a series of extreme violent attacks by a gang a head taller. They harassed him. They called him White Cracker for being dyslexic. And he just wanted to be like his dad. He dressed like a cowboy. He was not allowed to call home for help. He was beaten, bloodied, and traumatized. He was refused parental support, forced to go back to class with ice bags to reduce the swellings before sent home on the bus to enrage parents. Again and again, he was diagnosed with severe post-traumatic stress disorder from the school not doing anything. You know, his biggest why was, why wouldn't the teachers help me? Why wouldn't the administration help me? And we filed 12 formal complaints, and they wouldn't do anything. And so I became an advocate, and I became somewhat of I had to learn about school policy, and that's what we do is we help bully victim families now to go in and file formal complaints, because if you don't file formal complaints, if it's not documented, it doesn't exist.
Sure. And let me ask you this. How is he doing today?
Well, I withdrew him May of 2011 from Kearns, Texas ISD. We live in a real small town. And, of course, they didn't expect a little mama bear like me to give them so much heck, but I did. And I homeschooled him for a year and a half. But what happened is this. He was vomiting at school. He had 42 school nurse logs. He was vomiting at school, and they would call me when he was vomiting. But they didn't call me when he was beaten. They didn't call me when he was knocked out on the playground. They didn't call me when he had a black eye. They didn't call me when they knocked his teeth out. They just put him on the bus and they sent him home. And when he got home, he would get off the bus and be bruised and he would have swellings the size of potatoes, baked potatoes. And I'd say, Johnny, why didn't you call me? And he'd say, they wouldn't let me, Mama. They wouldn't let me. So for 3 years, from 2008, age 7 to age 9, it escalated. And it escalated. And I didn't know he had PTSD. We had no idea. It got worse and worse. He would fall on the floor and grab his head and start screaming. And he would say, help me, help me. Why doesn't somebody help me? Please help me. And we would rush him to the emergency room because he said he couldn't breathe. And then he would vomit on the way to the emergency room. And at age 9, they gave him morphine. And after 3 times of emergency room visits and morphine to my 9-year-old, they finally referred us to Children's Hospital in Dallas. And for a year and a half, we drove every week to a team of specialists, a psychologist, a psychiatrist, a physical therapist, and a medical doctor. They finally put him on a drug called Remeron, which is what the military takes for PTSD. And it helped him. Without the Remeron, we wouldn't have our child back. But here's his last day of school. This is why I took him out, his last day of school. He came home, and I was on the computer, and he came in, and I said, hey, baby, how you doing? He said, I'm fine. I said, really? I said, nothing, everything okay at school? And he said, yeah, that wasn't normal. Normally, he would come in and blast me, and he would release and let it all out, and then he would cry. But this day, he said everything was okay. And so I sat at the computer for about 15 more minutes while he went out to our horse ranch. And something inside me just wouldn't let me stop. And so I went out to our barn, and he had a rope and rope hung over a pipe in the roof of the barn. And he had a noose. And he's 9 years old with his little cowboy hat on, and he's standing in front of it. And I said, Johnny Spur, what are you doing, baby? What are you doing? He said, Mama, he said, I just can't go to that school anymore. I just can't go anymore.
Oh, my gosh. And
I said, Johnny, I said, I'll make you a deal. How about this? How about you never have to go to that school again? If you promise me you will never do this again. If you promise me you will never do this again, you'll never have to go to public school again. And he hugged me so hard I thought my ribs were going to break. And he jumped and he danced, and he's been homeschooled ever since. And I swear to you, I thought I was going to lose him. I thought I was going to lose him. My husband and I kept our eyes on him. For a year and a half, we couldn't take our eyes off of him. We were so afraid that he was going to take his life at 9 years old. But he's okay now. He had to take his medication.
Let me ask you this, Michelle. Going back as a mom, and I mean, there's thousands of moms listening to us tonight. As a mother, you sending your son to school and him coming home with these bloody noses and black eyes and everything else. What did you do to try and stop this? What did you do with the administration?
I lied to my 9-year-old child. That's what I did. I lied to my 9-year-old child, and I ripped his little fingers off of my hips, and I told him I would take care of it. I told him to go to school, and he would stand at the school bus and wait for the school bus to come up, and he would vomit. And I went to school, and I made the formal complaints with the principal, and I made the formal complaints with the superintendent, and I made the formal complaints with the school board, and I called the State Board of Education, and I called the OCR and made complaints. And I called the State Board, the United States of Education, and they did nothing. And I called every attorney in Texas, and no one wanted to help me. I had to get an attorney in Maryland, Phillips Weiser.
Oh, my goodness. And tell me something. This is, you know, just listening to your story, and you've talked to me before, but people don't know Johnny's story, but you've told me about Johnny. Tell us about Johnny as a person. Tell us about this exciting little guy. And I've seen him on videos.
Johnny is the kid that every mother wants. Johnny is the kid that says, yes, ma'am, he ropes. I wouldn't let him rope until this year. He's roping now with his dad, and he wants to make every step his dad makes. But I made him barrel race because it's safer. You know, from 5 years old to he's 11 now, he won five buckles barrel racing.
Wow.
And hit outrun us big girls. So he's not a sissy. He's not a wimp. But he is a Christian, and he loves God. And he carried his Bible in his backpack. And he said, I don't want to hurt anybody. I just don't want them to hurt me. And he was very outgoing. And he would, in music, he would get up on stage and he would sing Elvis. He liked You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog. And he was very out. And then he'd sing to the girls. He'd sing Love Me Tender to the girls. And it was a group of racist boys that didn't like him. It was three of them. And because he was popular with the girls, and because he was so yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, and he would run and open the doors for the little girls and the big girls, the teachers. And he had no disciplinary issues. When we went through mediation, even the teachers and everybody said he was well-mannered. So it's not the bad kids that are getting bullied. It's the good kids, the well-mannered kids.
And so when you talked to the school administration, when they you said that they were sending him home with knocked out teeth and bloodied, and they would send him home and not call you or let him call you?
And I was sitting here by the phone all day.
And what was their excuse to this?
They had no excuse to it. When I went up there, you know, they would raise their voice and I would question them. And, of course, I was angry, but I didn't cuss and I didn't threaten bodily harm. But I would raise my voice to match theirs. And they actually, I made police reports with Chief Slamsick, and he was retired. But I went to Chief Slamsick in Kearns, Texas, and I made police incident reports. You can make police incident reports. You have to insist on it and get them to sign it and take it home because sometimes they disappear if you don't do that. But he told me to go up there and give them hell. So that's what I did. I went up there and I gave them hell in a Christian hell way, I guess, the nicest way I could. But, I went up there. The first issue I had, I went to the superintendent and I told him what was happening with my son sitting in front of him with a black eye. And he said, I don't have time for this. Boys are going to be boys. But, I mean, this was ongoing for 3 years, you know. And then I went to the principal's office, and the principal shut the door, and my son, my 9-year-old, was sitting beside me, and she dragged him in his chair over to her, and she started punching him in the arm and punching him in the side and saying,
what?
Yeah.
Your son, what, you didn't crawl out of that chair after her?
Wait a minute.
Okay.
She said, Johnny, you hit people too, don't you? You hit people too. She's punching him lightly in the arm and lightly in the side. And I said, Johnny, you hit someone? And he said, yes, ma'am, I hit my friend with a toboggan. And I dragged, so we're fighting over my kid now. So I'm dragging his chair back over to mine. And she's just telling me to leave. Michelle, you need to leave and go home. I will handle Johnny. And I hit her desk with my fist. And I said, why don't you hit me like that?
There you go.
Why don't you hit me like that? So then they called the police, and Chief Slamsick came up. And he made the superintendent, and before he got there, the superintendent came running in, and the superintendent looks like a bulldog, and he got in my face, and he said, get out of here, get out of here. Oh, my God, and I've got my arm in front of my kid to the right, You know, I'm like, God, these people are insane. All I want them to do is protect my child, and then now they're attacking me. And so Chief Slamsick came in, and he made them leave. And he said, Michelle, what are you doing? I said, I'm doing what you told me to do. You said you couldn't do anything, so I'm making complaints. So anyway, we left. And we made more formal complaints and more formal. And I still kept trusting in the system, but there is no system because there is no sovereign immunity. There is no legal penalty for administrators if they don't follow the student code of conduct. And the student code of conduct is to correct and counsel the bullies. But they don't want to lose their bully headcount money. They want to keep the money for the bullies, so they're not going to do anything with the bullies. They want to keep their money. And it's taken me 5 years to figure this out. I have parents calling me from all over the United States. I'm a bully victim family advocate. And I hear the same stories. I've had parents lose their children from bully suicide. I've had parents, millions of parents that have to homeschool because administration will not, they won't be accountable. They will not, nobody can hold administrators accountable to enforce their own student code of conduct because of the sovereign immunity and qualified immunity umbrella in law that they are protected by. And that's why 4,400 youth kill themselves every year.
And when you talk about the 4,400 youth that take their lives every year with bullying, and I want to make that a point. I want everyone to hear that tonight. 4,400 children. That's more than a small town that's being wiped out.
And
that's
it's
a small
escalating.
Town in America that's being yes.
And the statistics are not even correct. They are
that's
not
the
even
ones that
correct.
Are reported.
They're not
those
even
are,
the statistics aren't even close to correct.
Okay, so why are the bullies not being corrected?
The bullies are not being corrected. Okay, teachers, there's some great teachers out there. The teachers have called me anonymously and said, Michelle, please don't get on to us. We're not the issue. Administration is the issue. We have tried to tell. There was a guy in Lafayette, Louisiana, that just got escorted off of the school campus. He was a teacher. And he had a student that threatened to shoot him and shoot the students. And he's being fired now because he went, like the parents do, against administration. And so they reverse the spotlight, and they take the heat off of their self, and they do a character assassination on the parents or the bully victim or even the teacher, and they know they will lose their jobs if they keep confronting administration about the bullies.
I'm going to slip something in here. Compared to when you and I went to school, and I'm a really young girl, but when we went to school a couple of years ago, what's the difference between when we went to school to now with what are the children going through? It's a huge difference, I would assume.
I don't know. You know, I mean, I'm a Christian, and I think a lot of people used to go to church, you know, way back when, and I don't know if that has anything to do with it or not, but, I mean, the moral standards are just not there anymore. I don't believe in corporal punishment. I don't think they should, you know, I don't want anybody whipping my kid. I'll whip my own kid if I have to, but I don't want anybody whipping my kid, so I'm against corporal punishment. But, you know, if you've got a dysfunctional child acting like a barbarian that's coming from a home that's dysfunctional, somebody needs to get involved and somebody needs to counsel the bully. Somebody needs to change their mind. And what they're doing in the student code of conduct is the 3-day in-school suspension. The 3-day in-school suspension, all that does for the bullies, piss them off. And when they get out, they come back and they pulverize the victim. It does absolutely nothing. And then in school policy it says if you've got a repeat bully that they're supposed to kick them out to DAEP. DAEP is Disciplinary Alternative Education Program.
Right.
They don't. The school doesn't want to do that. and here's why. If they kick them out to DAEP, they usually have to bus them quite a ways to another location, and they lose that money, and they have to pay more money for them to be bused. Another number two is they have a safety data report that they fill out once a year. Every school in every state has to fill this out and send it to the State Board of Education. It's inaccurate. What administrator in their right mind is going to fill out an accurate safety data report that's going to red flag them and put their job in jeopardy? What they do is they call assault mutual combat.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I've seen that.
Yep. So, and then the only safety programs that the schools have that's required is 1 to 2 hours a year. That's it.
Well, that's just crazy. It really has grown into an epidemic. And, you know, I think a lot of it was with younger, we have gang violence and other things that are going on in our schools. You look at the 1 in 3 homes, Michelle, either have neglected or abused children in America now. 1 in 3 homes. So if you have neglected and abused children in your home and they're being abused at home and they cannot let their feelings out or what they're feeling, what are they, they're going to go to school and they're going to beat up on Johnny. And we have things like that happening in our society. And we have kids bringing guns to school because the other bullies have been bullying them for so long. It's just turned into a huge epidemic. But I want to go into
it doesn't matter if they have a gun. If you take away the gun laws, it doesn't matter. They'll build a bomb or they'll bring knives or they'll run you over. You know, they'll do something else. But the issue is that we've got dysfunctional. The homes are broken. There's so many homes that are broken right now. And then, you know, the biggest thing I hear, you know, on the blogs that I get involved in is, well, it needs to start in the home. It needs to start in the home with the bully parents, you know. Well, that's not going to happen because you've got a dysfunctional home and they don't care. And their kids are bullying because they're hurting. So the bully is hurting. The bully has issues, and he's lashing out at school. Okay, so you can't make the bully's parents make him behave. So it's up to the government, it's up to the school to create some kind of a counseling program to counsel these children and give them the psychological needs to become healthy, because all they know is to lash out and they don't have any examples. So the school is their only hope, because if they don't help them in school, they're going to end up in prison.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, Michelle, we've got 4 guests that are coming up and we're running out a little bit of time here. So I have a lot of questions that I really want to get through with you because they're very important.
I just
have
one more thing I want to say. And Doe versus Covington County, and this is the case where if you've got kids that are bullied or if you've got kids that have lost their lives because of bullying and you take it to federal court, the federal court is dismissing it because of Doe versus Covington County. And what Doe versus Covington County is about is sovereign immunity. And it's about a little girl that was 9 years old, that was checked out of school on 6 different occasions to a stranger, and she was sodomized, and she was raped, and returned back to school. And she told her parents, and the parents filed a federal lawsuit, and it was called Doe versus Covington County. And the federal court dismissed it. I think it was in Mississippi. And they dismissed it because of the sovereign immunity, qualified immunity umbrella for protection. Because what it says is the school does not have any custodial duty to protect the well-being of students in a learning institution.
And, you know, I saw that and that just, it makes me sick. So they don't have a custodial duty, but when you when you go to the law enforcement and you say, hey, my kid's being assaulted, which is a crime, at school, what do they tell you?
They tell you that they can't get involved because it is a school issue and you need to discuss it with the school. And then you discuss it with the school administration, and they don't want to be red flagged because they don't want their job in jeopardy. They want to appear clean and have a good safety report.
You know, Michelle, I'm gonna bring the other guests on, but I want to come back before the end of the show, and I want to ask you some of these questions that you and I discussed.
Okay.
But
right,
I want to I want people to see what these families have gone through. I mean, please have your children sitting around the show right now. And yes, it's going to be a tough show, and Rachel's telling you, this is going to be tough, but can you imagine the position that these parents are in and the child that lost their lives? Because right now, I'm going to bring on a very special lady, and this takes a lot of willpower and a lot of strength for her to come on. And her name is Lori Jones, and we're going to bring her on the air right now. And Lori's very special. You can see her picture up on the Blog Talk Radio. If you are on Blog Talk Radio and you want to chat, just scroll down. When you're on our link, scroll down, and you'll see a chat room there. Sign in as a guest, and you'll be able to chat with us within the room. And we'll try to keep an eye on that chat room, so if you have any questions for me to ask the guests, please feel free to do that. I'm going to bring on Lori in just 1 second here, and I'm running the switchboard. I'm doing everything here, so we're trying to do all, and I'm blonde. No offense, Sarah. Michelle, no offense. Let's see here. And I do not have Lori on here. Where's Lori? I'm sure she's on there. Our switchboard is just loaded tonight because there's a lot.
If you can't get Lori, you can go to Danielle.
And I might do that. I might just go to Danielle and then pull Lori in afterwards. Let me see. I'm going to give it one more chance to find Lori here. Okay, let's see. Because we've got so much to cover tonight, and I do not see Lori on there. So I'm going to go over to Danielle, and Danielle's story is, Danielle will tell her daughter's story. Her daughter actually committed suicide from bullying. And I got to give this lady a lot of credit for coming on the air with us tonight, because it's just so sad what's happened here. Danielle, welcome, and you're on the air, sweetie.
Hi.
Hi, sweetie. How are you? I heard that you're not feeling well.
No. I was advised to get hot tea.
Oh. You know, and I always pray that I never lose my voice for a show because I have them once a week normally. We're just coming back. We were off offline for a while because we had a lot of stuff going on. PPP's got a lot of big movement going on right now, and so we haven't been doing our shows. But welcome to our show. And I'm so sorry about what's happened to your daughter, and what a great voice you get to be for her tonight. And I want you to, first of all, can you tell us your daughter's name?
Her name is Angel Green.
Right. What a beautiful name.
14. She was a redhead with freckles. She was fun. And I could go on and on about her. She was a jokester. She would love to play pranks on her brothers and sisters. She loved to make people laugh and have a good time. She would even walk home people that were being bullied in the neighborhood to make sure that they got home okay.
Wow.
Yeah, she had a very bright personality, and she was beautiful. And I don't know if you can see the picture of her, but she was just a gorgeous, gorgeous girl, and she was bullied for many different reasons.
She was bullied for many different reasons. She wasn't a bully. She was bullied, right?
I'm sorry?
You said that she was bullied for several different reasons?
Yes.
Yes, and I don't think that there's ever a reason to bully a person. I don't believe that there's ever a reason to bully a person. I believe that bullies are people that have a lot of insecurities within themselves, and they have to hurt somebody else in order to make sure that they look better. And so make them look like the tough guy so nobody gets close to them. And unfortunately, our children become the victims of those people.
Absolutely.
That do that. And, you know, when I went through school, I got to admit, I was the person on the other side. I'm going to admit that tonight. I had a very rough childhood. I was abused at home. And so, therefore, I would go to school. But then I learned not to do that. And I would help out the kids that were being bullied. I'd help them out. But it took me a while to learn that. So talking to parents tonight, you know, it's just so horrifying to know that their children have actually – what child should ever feel so bad that they feel like there's nothing worth living for and they take their own life? I don't get that. I don't get that one bit. And I can't understand when another child sees that that person is in so much pain and that bad – that they don't try to pick them up and apologize or something and stop what they're doing. And but yet they're taking our children's lives. 4,400 families go through this every year because their children are taking their own lives. And I just can't understand this.
My daughter's story started over a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she was bullied because her father got arrested because I had walked in on him trying to rape one of my daughters.
Oh, no, honey.
And it got into the papers, and the people in the neighborhood got a hold of it and started calling her whore, slut, daddy lover, things like that. And so she got bullied for that. She tried to redeem herself by bringing in the newspaper and saying it wasn't my fault. And it didn't go away. She would go to the school, and the school wouldn't do anything about it. She would tell them, she was in there almost every single day, and she would tell the guidance counselor, well, this kid is calling me names and I want him to stop. And she was like, okay, well, I'll call him down here. Well, the bully would stand there and say, I didn't call her that. I don't know what you're talking about. She's being overdramatic. And they would tell my daughter, well, I'm sorry, but I can't do anything because he said he didn't do it. Well, I don't know about anybody else, but if you're a bully, you are not going to admit to saying you called somebody a name because you're going to get in trouble. And she would have trash and food being thrown at her in the lunchroom. And I went and sat at lunch table with her, and there are three lunchroom attendants in this small lunchroom. And none of them would be paying attention to see that there are people throwing trash at my daughter and throwing food at her. And she got to the point where she was afraid to eat because people were making fun of her because they called her fat and just all kinds of other terrible names. So she stopped eating at school, and the bullying continued at home. We did not have a Facebook for her, and she did not have a cell phone, so that when she came home, she had a safe haven. And she felt so badly, and she really liked this one boy, and she would write him a letter, and that boy would turn around and take it to school and have everybody read it and start laughing at her and calling her names.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she was very heartbroken about that, and she was in choir, and twice she was given a solo performance, And mm-hmm. they took the solo away from her because the kids would complain, saying that she was an awful singer. She was worthless. And they would say this in the middle class. And so twice my daughter had her solo taken away from her. And she had rumors being spread about her all the time. And when I talked to the principal ended up saying that this was just social conflict, that this was, you know, just amongst her friends. There, she didn't find any evidence of bullying. My oldest daughter came home one day and said, "Mom, Angel's going into the woods with two boys and some girl." And I said, "What is she doing?" And she said, "I don't know." And I said, "Well, go get her and find out what's going on." Well, she went and got her, and she asked her, "What was she doing?" And Angel said, "Well, there was a knife out here, and I just wanted to look at it." And we had found a letter that she had written where two of her bullies were following her into the woods to video camera her committing suicide. And I was absolutely appalled at how insensitive and how cruel these bullies have gone to stab
her. Hold on, hold up, just a minute. You're telling me that there was people that knew that she was going to try and commit suicide and they were following her into the woods to tape it?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. They didn't try to stop her?
No.
Or
nobody. I lived literally 1 minute away from where she was. Nobody came and got me. If it wasn't for my daughter telling me that she was in there, I might have lost her that day. And so that was the first instance that we came across. And some boy had said and spread rumors that he had had sex with her behind our house, and they were completely untrue. And the boy even admitted that they weren't true. And he still went to school and told everybody that he had had sex with her. And so that continued more bullying. And
did you get any counseling or anything like that to try and help her?
Absolutely. We had her in what is out here called Wabash Family Alliance.
Uh-huh.
And it is counseling. We had her in counseling just for that reason. And she was also in a peer group called Accepting Me for Me, which was a self-esteem group. And then she was in Bauer Family Counseling, where it was a individual therapist. So she had two different counseling sessions. She also had a home-based case manager and a school-based case manager that would oversee what was going on at school. And so we had all of these things in line for her. And the school still failed. And a week prior to her death, the kids were at the bus stop, and Angel was talking to somebody. It was some other boy. And her bully came up and grabbed the boy and said, "Don't talk to her. She's not worth talking to." And Angel, you know, lashed back and said, "Why don't you just shut up and leave me alone?"
Oh,
and the boy said, "You know, why don't you just go die? Because nobody would care about you."
Oh my gosh.
She started yelling at him, "How dare you say that to me? You don't tell people that." And the bully's mother came down and then started yelling and screaming at my daughter, calling her names, and told her to shove a crowbar up her ass.
Well, the apple didn't fall too far from the tree on that little boy, did he?
Yes, and then she got in her car and purposely drove through a puddle just so that she could get muddy water thrown up on her.
So the mother also was bullying your daughter?
Yeah, the mother, you know, also did this, and I was appalled. I didn't know what to do at this point. My daughter had, I wasn't even home. My daughter called the police, and the police came out, and the police said, "You don't look wet to me."
Ugh.
And did nothing. Did nothing, even though that there was a trespassing warning against this bully, because the bully had came into my house when I wasn't home, when she was here. And she had told him to leave, and he wouldn't leave. And I had called the police and had a trespassing warning on him, and they still wouldn't do anything.
And how old was this bully?
He was, I believe he's 13.
13 years old, and he's doing this to children?
Yes.
And
it goes on everywhere, and it's unbelievable.
Let me ask you this. This is a question I need to ask you. You said your daughter it started a year and a half ago. What was she like before she started being bullied? What was her personality like? And, I mean, tell us about that.
She was bubbly and fun, and she was very random. You know, she would start dancing or singing. She was on the dance team, and she was in choir, she was in band. She just loved, you know, going out and having a good time with her friends and going to the movies, painting her nails, you know, doing makeup, dancing around the house, and she was just a fun person to be around.
Let me ask you this. Through what happened to her, did her friends step away from her and not support her?
Yeah, they were afraid of getting made fun of themselves if they stuck up for her, too.
Uh-huh. So let me ask you this. I'm just appalled right now that this happened to your baby. This is your baby. And, all of us right now, look at your daughter or your son and imagine your child going through this. And if your child happens to be a bully at school, I want you to listen to what this lady's going through and listen to Danielle and what happened to Angel, because now I'm going to ask Danielle a very important question. What happened from that year to when she took her from the bubbly girl that was on the dance team that loved to dance and be random and sparkly and bubbly and happy? What did that bully do to her?
He broke her. He broke her heart. He broke everything about her. He made her feel she wasn't pretty. He made her feel she was stupid. She would ask me, "Mom, why did you make me stupid? Why did you make me ugly?" And I was like, "Angel, you are beautiful and you are smart. Mm-hmm. You don't need to listen to these kids." And the day of her death was the worst day of my life. And I don't wish that on anybody. And it started very early in the morning. And my oldest daughter woke me up at 6:15 in the morning to tell me, "Mom, Angel is missing." And I said, "What do you mean she's missing?" She's like, "Well, she isn't here." I was like, "Did you check the whole house?" And she said, "Yeah." And I said, "Okay." I said, "Go check the bus stop. You know, maybe she went to the bus stop to hang out with her friends early." And it was the day that we got a lot of snow, and it was starting to freeze and rain. She had walked down a little bit ways, and she said, "Mom, there's nobody there." And I said, "Okay." I said, "I'm going to get dressed." So I got up, I got dressed, I called my sister-in-law. I said, "My Angel is missing." I said,
"Mom,
I said, I don't know where she's at. She's like, well, I'm on my way. And then as I got to the door, I heard ambulances and coming down, and my heart sank. And I got in my car, and I literally drove 100 feet and turned the corner. And there were police cars and squads and a group of kids. And I pulled over and I said, what's going on here? And the girl said, there's some girl hanging from a tree. I said, oh, my God.
And oh, my gosh.
I just threw my car in park and just ran. And I ran to this tree. And it was my daughter hanging from the tree.
Oh, my God.
And they wouldn't let me near her. And I had to stand there and watch her swing from this tree for an hour and a half before a coroner would come, and the squad didn't even try to revive her. They didn't even try. They came, and they turned back around and said, our job is done here. And I had to stand there and watch as everybody saw my daughter, and they finally covered her up. And the coroner finally showed up and asked me to identify my daughter. And I just was screaming and beating my head against the steering wheel of my car. And she was so beautiful, and she took her life.
Oh,
she took her life at the bus stop so these kids could see her and what they did to her.
And I have Michelle. Michelle, you're still here. You're still on the air with us.
Yeah, I'm here.
And,
yeah, I'm here.
And then somebody in the meantime had taken a photo of her.
Oh, my gosh, no.
And posted it on Facebook.
Oh, you've got to be joking me.
It went around the school in a matter of 15 minutes. And in 2 hours, it was taken down. And I told the police, and they said they couldn't do anything about it because it was a freedom of speech.
What?
Yeah, we have a twisted system right now, and it's killing the children.
My daughter wrote several letters to her bully, to her friends, and to myself. And she just kept telling me that it's not my fault, that you were the best mom everyone could have wanted. And she told me that she loved me and that she would wait for me at Heaven's Gate. She wanted justice. She's like, Mom, bullying killed me. Please get me justice. And
that was in her letter, Rachel. She wrote a suicide letter that said it was bullies and that her mother was wonderful. It wasn't her mother.
And she says, get me justice.
Yeah.
Bullying killed me. Get me justice.
Yeah.
Well, that's something we intend to do, don't we?
She had wrote to her 8th grade class begging the bullies, after they have killed her, to not hurt anybody else, to make a change. So she was begging her bullies not to do this to somebody else.
So she was still pleading with them even after she passed away.
Yes.
And took her own life, she was still pleading with them.
Yes.
And begging them. Where is this little man now that's done this to her? What's going on with him?
Nothing has happened to these children at all. And
they're still
roaming around, no consequences. I was also told by one of the bullies that he will not apologize to me, that if anything, I needed to apologize to him.
Oh, my goodness.
And
do you think that they're listening to our show tonight? Do you think there's a possibility that you don't think they'd be listening to our show tonight?
I don't think they have any conscience thought of what they did wrong, because one of the other bullies emailed one of the TV reporters that did a story on my daughter and said that he was one of her good friends and that we had our facts wrong and she wasn't bullied and I didn't care about my daughter and I knew she was going to do it and that I didn't even cry at her funeral, which he wasn't even there.
Let me ask you this. I'm going to ask you a couple questions because we've got a couple more guests to come on. But I'm going to keep everybody on the air because I'm going to invite everyone to call in after I bring on my next two guests. I do want people to call in, and the families are open up for questions. I've got a couple questions for you, and this is something. If you're able to speak to her bullies tonight on her behalf, what would you say to them?
Why? What was so wrong with my daughter? What could you have possibly done to hurt this girl so badly? I have to live a lifetime without my daughter. I will never see her go to prom. I won't see her get married or have children or graduate high school, graduate college. She won't be able to become a cosmetologist. You know, and I feel cheated and stolen from.
Yes.
And that's, I don't feel that she took her life. I feel that they murdered her. They murdered her, you know, indirectly without even touching her. And that's how I look at that.
Let me ask you another question. If you could speak out to all the police and the school administration and everything tonight and tell them what because of their lack of concern and everything, what do you want to tell them? What do you want to tell them on how you feel of what's happened here? If you were talking to a principal that goes into school tomorrow and a parent makes a complaint to him and he's listening to my show right now, your show, your daughter's show right now, what would you tell that administrator right now?
You need to understand these children. These children are legitimate complaints. These are children of worth. They are children of value. Every child needs to be protected in school. Every complaint needs to be taken seriously. Don't ever think that child is a drama queen like they labeled my daughter. These children, I can't stress enough, you need to do your job. There are laws to protect you at your job, and your job is to protect that child.
That's
your job is to do. You swore in college that you would protect these children and teach and educate these children.
They promised a safe, caring, non-hostile learning environment.
Yes, and what are you teaching them?
Exactly.
When the girl who is being bullied can't even be educated because she's too afraid of being looked as stupid. And that's what happened to my daughter. Her grades dropped because she was afraid to ask questions because people would make fun of her and call her stupid.
That's just horrible. Oh, my gosh. That's just so wrong. And, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, one thing I want to do with this show tonight is I want to make some kind of documentary and send it out to our schools and other people for as an educational thing to show other kids why we don't do this, what kind of effect you are having on a person's life. And if you can talk to other bullies in the world right now, what would you say to them?
It does not feel good to be bullied. I mean, you are tearing this person down emotionally and physically, and it is not worth it to do this to other children. You know, if you are hurting, you need to talk to somebody. Let somebody know. Lashing your anger on somebody else is not the answer. Making
exactly.
somebody else feel your pain is not the answer.
Well, you know, and I truly, honestly believe that these young guys and girls that were involved in Angel's suicide, they will carry this with them for the rest of their life, that this little girl took her life because she felt that she had nothing to live for because of the things that they did to her and the way that they tore her down. These kids are going to have to live with this for the rest of their lives. So if you're a family member out there of a bully, you know, what's going to happen if your child bullies somebody to death? And if your child bullies somebody to death, they're also going to carry that on their shoulders for the rest of their lives, and they will not be a good product of society. They will be. They can suffer from post-traumatic stress from this also. It goes both ways. And with that being said, I need to bring Lori onto the air. And Lori, you should be here. Let's see. Where's our Lori at? We still do not have Lori on the air tonight.
Yeah, Lori said that she was feeling ill earlier and that she may have to go to the ER. She's got that. I'll tell Lori's story real quick.
Okay.
Lori called me a year and a half ago, and she said, my son's suicidal. And she said the kids are kicking him in the head and they've broken his ribs. And I said, well, you need to do the formal complaint system. She said, she was crying. She said, Michelle, I've already done that. She said, I've already exhausted all my remedies. And that's the legal term. You have to exhaust all your remedies before you can get an attorney. You have to exhaust all your remedies, which is level one, you have to file a formal complaint with the principal. Level two, you have to file a formal complaint with the superintendent. Level three, you have to file a formal complaint with the school board. Level four, I call appealing to your state board of education, and then the OCR, and then the United States Department of Education, which ends up nowhere normally. But before I go on to rat on the rotten apple administrators, I know and I praise and I thank the shining stars who are out there that have good schools and who do care, because I know they are out there and I've heard of them. But the most that I hear about are from parents like Lori Jones with her 10-year-old child that kept getting beat up and that was bleeding from his rectum and that has PTSD so bad that he hasn't left his house, and he's only 10 years old, hasn't left his house but three times in the last year. And I told her to homeschool him, to get him out of this. I said, this should be his last day of school if you've already, you know, made complaints and they won't stop the bullies, they won't correct the bullies, they won't counsel the bullies, take him home. He was suicidal. He was going to kill himself. And I don't have very many victory stories, but this is one of them because he's still alive.
Oh, that's wonderful. And tell us, Michelle, how long have you been an advocate for these kids?
Ever since my son started getting bullied in 2008.
So you've been doing this for quite a while.
I get 35 to 50 bully victim family calls a week.
Wow.
I get calls from bully victims, and I get the majority are from the families wanting to know how they can make the school correct the bullies. And I get the same story from every family, whether they are having to homeschool, which most of them are. I had a parent call me from Houston, and she said that one of the teachers was calling her son fat and incompetent, calling him stupid and fat. And she went to the administrators, and she raised her voice, as most parents do, to the level of the administrator or the principal or superintendent. And when she got back to her trucking company, and this was Cindy in Houston, when she got back to her trucking company, the police met her and said that the school said that she had made a terroristic threat, and she couldn't believe it. So anyway, the DA dismissed it. It was bogus. But, yeah, this is what the parents are dealing with. It's called reverse the spotlight when the school administration doesn't want to deal with the complaints of the parents, and they can't deal with the ongoing bullying. Then they reverse the spotlight onto the parents, and it becomes a character assassination on the victim and on the bully victim family.
Yeah.
So the bully victim family becomes the troublemaker, and they become gossiped about by the entire school, and the victim is called a liar.
That's just you know.
They're untouchable.
The school
administration at this point in law is untouchable because of sovereign immunity. So what needs to happen is there has to be a penalty. There has to be a penalty in law that the rotten apple administrators that do not enforce the student code of conduct safety policy that's already in place, they have to be held accountable for noncompliance.
And that's something you're working on now, and that's something that we want to spread out across the country, is we want to change these laws so that these children are protected, correct?
Yes.
And do you have a proposal for that?
Yeah, we're working on it.
Great.
Yeah, we do have a proposal for it, but right now the statistics are not even correct. So all we can do right now is to keep bombarding our state representatives, petitioning our state representatives, and just telling them these stories. I mean, if you have a bully victim story, if you've lost your child to bully suicide, please keep contacting your state representatives because they are unaware.
Right. Well, I'm going to go back to Angel's mom. Angel's mom, Danielle. Danielle used to live with us. And, you know, Lori may have tried to call in because I did have a 972 area code call in. You know what?
That was Lori, 972.
Yeah, but the last four digits are not the same. They're different than what you gave to me. Actually, the whole last part of the whole phone number is different. So if that's her calling in, she's calling in from a different number. But I do have someone calling in from 972. I want to go back to Danielle for a minute. Danielle, tell us, if you had this to do over again with your daughter, and say you're talking to a parent right now that's maybe dealing with a child that's being bullied, what would your advice be to them? Is Danielle still with us? Hold, you know what, Danielle, just one second. I'm going to put you right back on here just a second here. Are you there, Danielle?
Yes.
Okay. Did you hear my question?
Yes.
Okay. Could you answer that? I had you on hold. I apologize, sweetie. If you can answer, like, talk to a parent that may be having a child that was going through what Angel was going through, what would be your advice to them?
I have been advising people to be like white on rice with these school officials. I don't care how small and trivial that these teachers may think it is. I want them in that school making formal complaints every single time. And if it happens outside of school, I want police called. so that there is a documentation of every single time this child is being bullied, and not to let anything slide, because even the smallest thing can be hurting your child.
And, you know, I have another, that's exactly right. I mean, because what may be detrimental to some is not detrimental to others. So to me, it's not up to the administration to decide, okay, that shouldn't have hurt you that bad. That shouldn't have upset you like that. It's not up to them to do that. The fact is, that should not happen, period. You should not be talked to like that. Your head should not be shoved into a wall. You should not be mocked. They're going and, you know, from what I've heard from both parents tonight, they're saying, well, I don't understand why they're so upset. Why are they, you know, I'm hearing, and you know what? It doesn't matter why these kids are upset. The fact is, you as the administration are, you have a, protect these children when they're put into your security in your
care.
School. You're supposed to protect them, and exactly, in your care. But they're supposed to have security, and they're supposed to be able to have a peaceful education. That's something me as a taxpayer, I pay for that. I pay for the children's education. You pay for the children's education. Why are these children being deprived of the education that they so deserve? You as parents that have lost your children to being bullied by suicide, you're a taxpayer too. And I mean, I know that sounds trivial, but you are paying these people in these schools their wages. They have an obligation to treat your
children
with respect.
Rachel, when we went to local mediation, when my 9-year-old was complaining because he didn't want the gang of three to beat him up and knock him out and keep giving him black eyes and, you know, waiting for the bus, puking and all that, he was so scared, but he tried to be brave and tried to be strong and tried to act strong at school. But what they did, they called in their state attorneys, and this is what a lot of people don't know, is that the school is covered by our taxpayer dollars, $33,000. I sent the administration an email and I said, I have a right to know how much you spent for defense. They spent $33,000 to defend themselves against my 9-year-old's complaints in local mediation. We haven't gone to federal court yet, and we are, but we just in local mediation, they spent $33,000 on state attorneys. Can you imagine
Let me correct you. They didn't spend it. We did.
We
spent it to protect them from the damage that they're letting happen because they're being too lazy to take care of these kids.
And our money comes out of our pocket.
Exactly. And, Michelle, I appreciate that. And it's just, I'm wound up tonight. I would like Kathy Stilley to call in tonight. I've talked to her, and I'm going to bring on, we have one more guest that I want to bring on. I'm going to bring on Tanya Chapman. And Tanya's story is just as horrifying. She'll talk about her son being bullied and the issues with the administration as a bus driver. So I'm going to pull her on because time is slipping away, and we've got to give everybody their time on the show here tonight. Just one second, and Tanya, you're going to be on the air here with us. Hello, Tanya, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, how are you tonight?
I'm good. I'm really just horrified listening to everybody's stories.
Yeah.
My 21. He made it through public school. He just served a stint in Afghanistan. But I can look back and I know when because from being an honor roll student to he fell off the charts.
Mm-hmm.
There was, you know, this was a bright, fun, beautiful little boy that all of a sudden didn't think. And I can tell you what the after effects are. My son has depression issues at 21, and he is in the military.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Ma'am, you're breaking up. I don't know whether you're on a cell phone or...
Yes, I am on a cell phone.
You're breaking up. We cannot hear you on the air. Find your little space and put your little tinfoil hat on and stand there for the rest of the show.
I'm actually stationary.
I think we're losing her there. We can't hear you, hon. Okay, Michelle, can you hear her? Oh, we dropped her. I'm sorry. Call back in. Please call back in. While she's calling back in, I mean, this is a horrifying story about her son, and he's 21, so therefore he's in the military right now. So then you have these kids that are going into the military, and you have them that they have their post-traumatic stress from being bullied at school. Then they go into the military, and something may happen to them in the military, and which is going to compound the issue. And we have 1 in 3 soldiers coming back from their deployments with PTSD. We have 25 active duty military members taking their lives every single day in America. And that's just ridiculous. So then you see how this goes up into our military ranks. It's an epidemic that hits into our society because this all affects every one of us as a citizen of America. It affects us completely financially, emotionally. It affects all of us. It affects our soldiers. It affects everyone. Like she was saying, her son's in the military. And I'm not saying he has post-traumatic stress from being in the military. He may be doing a great job there. He may not have any issues. But I've seen a lot of people that go into the military. They're not perfect when they go into the military. So when they come back out, they have severe post-traumatic stress as well. Tanya, try to call back into the show because I really, really, really want to hear your story. Okay, there you go. I think we've got her back now. Here we go.
I'm back.
You're back.
I'm back. And I drove school bus. I drove school bus for a lot of years, and I saw a lot of things. And driver, so you didn't pick on kids riding on my school bus. But when I would address things with administration, and this is probably going to horrify parents, I was told by administration that leave it alone. It's not your problem. It's not your business. And they're not smart enough to figure out how to do anything else. And they're meaning parents.
Wow. I'm going to have to admit something here on the show tonight. I used to be a school bus driver also.
It's a tough job.
It was like driving a 32-passenger station wagon, sisters and brothers. It was horrible.
Yeah.
But my theory of driving was
that I was the first person those kids all saw every morning, so I could make or break their day.
Right.
So everybody got a clean slate every day. Even if I knew you were a problem, I gave you the opportunity to behave yourself, but when you couldn't, then you had to play by my rules.
Well, let me ask you this, because one of the things that I would pick up the military kids when I was driving school bus, a lot of the school, because we have to go out to the base and pick them up, and I loved it. The kids loved me. I loved them. I ever saw anybody bullying, we were on it. But my principal in my school, I loved him. He did not tolerate that. But that was years ago. And when I went through school, guess what they had? A big paddle. And they were able to beat our butts. Excuse my French, folks, but that's what they did. They beat our butts if we've misbehaved. If we misbehaved on the school bus, guess what? We went to, what was it called? And I'll never forget this guy because it was my second day of school, and I said a naughty word, and I had to go see the guy that was in charge of the school bus. We had a weird name for him, and I was so scared that I was going to get spanked. And my cousin told me the word. He says, call this guy a so-and-so. And I'm like, you're a so-and-so. And I had to go meet this guy. Oh, I was scared to death. And I never did it again. And I'm not saying corporal punishment's right or that other people should be spanking our children or anything like that. I'm just saying when we went to school, it was yes, sir, no, ma'am.
Right. When would not even come home and tell me about being bullied. In fact, he had been at my mother's, and my mother had called me and said, you need to look at his arms. And he was being pinned in a bathroom by four or five boys, and they would pound on him repeatedly and leave bruises on his arms. My son was in seventh grade, and I walked in and looked, and I said, "What happened?" And he just told me, "Nothing, Mom, nothing." And I said, "You need to tell me now." And he said, "Go to school." And he was right, because I was in school the very next morning, and I blew by a secretary and walked right in.
We have some background noise going on, so if you have your computer on, please turn it off. Thank you.
The head bully, his dad, ran the athletics program. And so, you know, they tried to cover it up, and he tried to tell me that, you know, "Well, ma'am, you're not smart enough." And I said, "Well, here's what's going to happen." I said, "I want the kid down here now, and if you don't comply with me, I will sue you personally, then I'll sue the school. I will file all the reports." I made sure, well, you know, I guess you would have to know me. I am 6 foot tall. I'm very no-nonsense, straight to the point. And long story short, I got it to stop only because I had to make the threat of, "I will take you to court. These are my rights. Your job is to keep my child safe." You know, the problem is, you know, as parents, there's this unspoken and unwritten that they're supposed to take care of our kids. You know, they're supposed to be safe while they're in school. And unfortunately, they're not, because the school doesn't enforce their own policies, creating a safe environment for kids. You know, the policies, they're vaguely written, they're poorly communicated, and the steps that they include have to be rigidly completed when a parent makes a complaint. And even when you follow them to the letter, nothing is ever really done to resolve that root problem. And sadly, you know, if you've ever worked for a school, and it doesn't matter if you were administration or bus driver, you know, there's things that are not said directly to you as an employee, you know, and they just don't seem to care, and they hide behind sovereign immunity. And, you know, the crazy thing about sovereign immunity is sovereign immunity is only found in the 11th Amendment, and it only applies to the federal government. There is nothing anywhere in the text of our U.S. Constitution that gives public schools sovereign immunity. And there are cases all over the country that have gone to district courts, you know, district courts, state courts, that those courts have said the school is not a state entity. They can be sued. At our own U.S. Supreme Court says, nope, they can be covered by sovereign immunity, which takes away, there's nothing else. But the problem with that is that's a violation of our constitutional rights, because now it's taken away our right to due process.
Exactly.
And we have that right. We have that right. And due process, if that is invoked, will trump sovereign immunity.
Absolutely. You know, I put that on my page the other day, what due process is. I actually put that on my page on Facebook the other day. And there's so many people that don't even understand that they have that right to due process.
Right. And it's actually, you know, the framers of the U.S. Constitution really must have thought that that was important, because due process is found in two of our amendments, the Fifth Amendment and the 14th Amendment also. They both address the issue of sovereign immunity, or actually for due process. And, you know, I don't understand why due process is not invoked to trump sovereign immunity in a lot of these cases. You know, looking and listening to Michelle earlier, you know, about the Hill versus Covington case, I am finishing up my undergrad degree right now, and that is something that I have researched. And that is a case that's a frightening case, because it actually ruled that there was no special relationship between the school and that child. And a special relationship is actually applies to those who are incarcerated or institutionalized or in foster homes. So
right.
That means that the government has to take care of them.
Let me explain what due process is really quick. It's the 5th and the 14th Amendments to the United States of the Constitution. Each contain due process clauses. Due process deals with the administration of justice. And thus, the due process clause, I'm reading this from Wikipedia, okay, as a safeguard from arbitrary denial of life, liberty, or property by the government outside the sanction of law. It has to do with the 5th Amendment and 14th Amendment. The Supreme
Right.
Court of the United States interprets the clauses, however, more broadly because these clauses provide four protections. Procedural due process in civil or criminal proceedings is substantive due process and prohibition against vague laws and as the vehicle of incorporation of the Bill of Rights. So the thing is, your 5th and your 14th Amendment has these clauses. These are your amendments as Americans.
Right. And due process, what it really means is you are entitled to your day in court. That's what due process is. Americans, we are entitled to our day in court. But the problem is with a lot of the cases that are being taken to the courts in regards to schools not doing their job, the rest of the rules for proof of indifference and failure to enforce their own policies, the standards for that proof are unbelievably high. But yet in other cases, in Michigan recently had a case, a young man was awarded $800,000. He was bullied from middle school all the way up.
So wouldn't Angel's mom, let me ask this, I'm no attorney, I'm sure you're not either, but wouldn't Angel's
I'm not an attorney.
Have, in your humble opinion, wouldn't she have the right to go and sue each of these families for wrongful death of her child?
I would certainly think so.
Hint.
There's deliberate by the school. The school knew these things were going on, and to just ignore them until someone loses their child, that's a problem, a huge problem. We're losing kids every single day. The schools lie in order to keep getting their federal funding, even though that federal funding, believe it or not, is only about 10 cents to every dollar spent on K-12 education.
Mm-hmm.
The bulk of it comes from state and local. That means the bulk of that actually comes from local because the taxes that are levied on every single one of us go
right.
into the school district where we live. So if that funding comes from us, then it should entitle the citizen of every state the right to sue a public school without the threat of sovereign immunity standing in the way.
We need to get that changed. We need to get the Supreme Court's ruling changed on that.
Yes.
That's very interesting.
It does. And the child left behind it is almost a joke because every school post a school
and we're losing her again. She's almost not there again. Tanya, okay, you're breaking up. We can't hear you on the air. She's gonna have to call back in. You're here. Okay, we're gonna give you a few more minutes. But I want to ask you the same question that I asked the Angel's mom. If you can talk to the people that were bullying your son, what would you say to them?
What would I say to them? Wow, because I had a lot of anger for a long time. And I would say to them, you have no idea what you do to another person when you bully them and tear them down to the degree that these bullies are allowed to continue. You have no idea what you do to another person. And at the end
what
of the day...
What did they do? What did they do to your son? I mean, what is the lasting effects of what they've done to your son?
What the lasting effects they have done to my son... My son is a very serious 21-year-old. He doesn't laugh and joke and smile as much as he did. He was just, and this is my, so you have to understand, this is my only child. So, this was very, very hard for me. They took this bright little entity and squashed it, took the right out of it, so that he's very serious. He does not always make friends easily, and after this, he easily made friends. He talked to everybody. He wanted to help everybody. He's not sure of himself all the time at the age of 21, and that's hard for me as a mom, to see this. He has so much potential. He is afraid,
you know,
even still as a grown.
He still really does, and I know that he's changed.
He's
changed forever. Have any of you, as parents, have any of you considered do equine assisted learning and therapy?
You know, I am a barrel racer, so there have been horses on my property from the time my child was born. He's been around horses. He never wanted to barrel race. That was my thing, not his. But he liked to go out and just pull out.
Talking about being around horses. I'm talking about what I'd like you guys to do is look up Monty Roberts with Horse Sense and Soldiers and the difference he's making. He's amazing.
Yeah.
And
yes,
I've seen him
very, very cool.
And he has completely changed. Monty and I get along great. I've been out there. I've traveled to two of his clinics with Christy Edelbrock, and they would bring the soldiers in, and I seen Monty transfer those lives completely around with post-traumatic stress within 3 days. They're completely turning themselves around. They're building their self-confidence. They're starting to get along with their wives and children again, and it's so amazing to see this transformation and them starting to see within themselves, and it was all through the eyes of a horse that they were able to do this, and he is just amazing. So if you guys look up Monty Roberts with Horse Sense and Soldiers, and you know what? While I was there at Monty's ranch the first time, it's Flag of Death's ranch down in Sullivan, California, there was a young gal that came in from England, and she was a young girl, and she came with her mother, and she was suffering from post-traumatic stress, and she had been bullied in school. In England, imagine that. It's all over the world. And Monty and his wife have raised over 32 foster children in their lives. And Monty offered to have the girl stay there with him and help her and get her through. And she actually went through the clinic that weekend with the other soldiers. And you can just see that little girl's light turn back on and her big smile come back on her face. And it was just so amazing to see that light come back on and the gleam in the eyes again. And that's something that you guys may consider. You know, look him up. And I would say give him a call because he's a great man. And, you know, Monty will figure out a way to help some people out. And he does have Horse Sense and Soldiers out there in California. He's amazing. But he works with everybody. But, Tanya, I appreciate you being on the show tonight. And if you had a solution to this problem, what would your solution be? And we're running out of time.
My solution is that the laws need to be changed. You know, the schools can't hide behind sovereign immunity, and the courts need to look at every case on its own merit. If the proof is there, the case should stand, whether it's a federal case or a state case. The case should stand. Sovereign immunity should never be an option for a public school.
No. And then this, are there any state representatives or governors or senators behind this effort? Is there any celebrities that are behind this effort? I know Taylor Swift is. Mark Wills is behind this effort. I mean, they both are very big celebrities on advocating against bullying. Who else out there is really big in their states? I mean, that's something we need to get a hold of every one of our representatives and talk about this.
We do. I agree. I'm thinking Michelle would probably know more as far as that goes. But I will say in her defense, too, it's probably worse states as far as the bullying issues and the school compliance and hiding behind sovereign immunity. And Georgia is yet another state, case after case states that I've looked at. Those are the two states that stand out very dominantly.
And, you know, when we went to school, we had what we called the PTA. Remember when parents used to get involved and they'd show up at school and help out and be there during, they'd volunteer their time for school recess and stuff like that to ensure that things like this aren't happening. What happened to the good old-fashioned neighborhood watch program and neighbor helping neighbor and parents going to school and taking turns to watch each other's kids? Where is that at these days?
Well, I think that, you know, we've become a very quick and disposable society. Fast food, it's the computer, it's a faster cell phone. There's little to no family time anymore. You know, people don't sit down for dinner. They don't go to church. There's no, you know, get together at grandma's once a week. You know, there's none of that. So, you know, people are very disconnected to a certain degree. We're connected, but we're disconnected, if that makes any sense.
It does. You know, one thing that we do, every Sunday my family comes over and we have my sister, her kids, everyone, they come over and they're here and we have a big dinner and we all, you know, every other week one of us will cook dinner, but we're all together on Sundays. And so it's so important for our families to be together. And another thing that I think, too, is because of the economy the way it is, it's taking two parents to work. But if there are parents out there that can, you know, if you've got Wednesday off, go volunteer that time at your school. Go be a person out on the playground. Monitor the playground. Monitor the hallways. Do whatever. But parents have a right to be involved in their children's education and involved in their safety. If it's a law that we have to send our kids to school, then it should be a law that they have to protect them while they're there. Now, let me ask you this. Tanya, if you went and did to a child what's happening to your son in that school, what would have happened to you?
I would have gone to jail.
Another kid be arrested for the same assault on your son because
no.
They say it's a school's problem.
Right. Right. It's
Isn't
contained. It's contained within the school.
And being contained in the school, I find that would be very unlawful because assault is assault. I don't care if it happened at the Dairy Queen, if it happened at school, or if it happened, you know, in church, assault is assault.
But the difference, the catch-22 is that sovereign immunity. Sovereign immunity means it's our sovereign entity. And
okay,
that means
I understand the sovereign immunity, and that's for the educators. But if Johnny goes to school and Johnny gets beat up by Joey, then Johnny's parents can sue Joey's parents for assault, correct?
Correct. You can sue them as an individual, but you're not going to sue that school.
Can the parents go down to the sheriff's department or the police department and press charges against that child?
Yes, they can, and they should.
And that's why I think people are confused. They're saying, oh, so there's no hope? I can't do anything? No, parents, go out there and go down to the police department, press charges against
right.
that child. Because
you press
what that's
charges,
going to do
you,
is put them into the juvenile court system, and that's
right.
going to have a home visit set up. That child
Correct.
Is going to be on probation. Therefore, mom and dad of the bully, the big bullies, if they've got a bully child, there's going to be some home visits. They're going to maybe put something, install something into that family that they're going to get them some help so that our children are not being affected anymore. So if your child is being assaulted at school, do not hesitate. Go down to the police department, fill out a report, take pictures of your child. All the pictures. Take pictures of the day it happened and take pictures 2 to 3 days after when the bruises are very prominent. Take those pictures and keep them in a file. Do not give the originals to anyone. You make copies of everything you have and do not give the originals to the police or anything like that. You give them copies. And that's don't ever give your originals to anything to anyone. I'm not an attorney, but this is common sense and this is stuff I've learned along the way. I am going to take some calls now. We've got a lot of people just wanting to get in here. I'm going to take some calls and take the calls. It's 323-417-6851. What I'm going to do is I'm going to sound off the last four digits of your phone number and let you know that you're on the air. So if you hear the last four digits of your phone number, you're going to be on the air with us. 0146, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm calling from the state of Maine. My name is Ty Kerr, and I had my son who was involved in a bullying, hazing, and harassment situation with in the athletic field, I guess, and I got to a point where when the administration wouldn't do anything, I started what we call student-athlete anti-bullying community. And what I try to focus on basically is trying to send positive messages out to anybody that's involved in the group, because a lot of these kids that go to school, if they've been bullied, hazed, or harassed at school, it might be the only positive get during the day, or at least before they go to school. But the biggest thing is we run a support group. I've learned a lot in the last year and a half with a lot of the kids that have joined the group. I've learned a lot about cutters and self-harmers who have been bullied so bad that they cut themselves with razor blades just to relieve the stress and the pain from the mind and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's been going very well, and we really appreciate those kids that come forward, because bullying is a major issue. It really is a major issue, and even though the schools don't want to accept it or recognize it, we are going to change laws, whether it starts here in Maine and it goes right across the United States. So,
hey, I'm ready in North Carolina. You know, let me, Ty, how can people get a hold of you and your organization? How can these kids get a hold of you?
Well, believe it or not, I started it out as a Facebook page. If they were to go to my name, first name Ty, T-Y, last name is Kerr, K-E-R-R, I have a blue Stop Bullying banner or a Stop Bullying ribbon. If they want to friend me, I can accept their request. And the reason why I started it off this way is I post on their wall, "Welcome to my Positive Mental Attitude Facebook page. Please tell your parents about my site so they can check out my profile," because I don't want to have anybody think out there that, you know, there's a pedophile getting with their child, because we have group
yeah.
members that are as young as 11 years old. So we want to make sure that the parents are you know, at least aware of what I do. Then I'll put them into the what we call the student-athlete anti-bullying community. And what's really great about this is what makes the group great is the members. I mean, we've actually saved three young ladies from committing suicide. Actually, it's four young ladies from committing suicide across the world. One in Australia, one in Nova Scotia, one in the state of Maine, and another one in, I can't remember the other country, but you don't know the feeling you get when somebody, at least the one in my case, when you call the police and they arrive, they help the student, they take them to a proper place when they say they're going to kill themselves, and then all of a sudden the person that you've saved a week later tells you, if it wasn't for in this case, me, I would have killed myself. But because of this group and everybody's support, it's made it easier to deal with bullying, because it's such a positive site.
And Ty, I'm going to let you guys know, everybody, anybody that's on the Blog Talk Show right now, if you guys can scroll down, I did put his link. It's T-Y and it's Kerr, K-E-R-R. And I put his link to his Facebook. And, yes, please have your – if you're a child, let your parents know about Ty. And be very careful, because one in three children are approached by a pedophile on the air or on the internet. So we have to be very careful with who our kids are talking to. I'm going to, Ty, thank you so much. And, you know, thank you for being there for our baby. Thank you. And thank you for, you know, it's sad that it has to come to this, that, you know, these kids they're going through this. I go through cyberbullying too as an adult. I mean, there's adults out there doing this stuff. I've been cyberbullied, and I had to go down and put out a warrant for a couple of people. It's just crazy what happened. And I can imagine what, you know, the heartache I felt, much less a child would be feeling. And I appreciate you coming on the line tonight. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Next four digits are 4387. You're on the air with Michelle and Rachel. Go ahead.
Hi, Michelle and Rachel. It's Laurie Jones in Richardson, Texas.
Lori, how are you?
Yes. Hi, I'm doing well. I didn't understand when they asked for my number earlier that they needed it for the show, so I guess my other number. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, yep, I have a switchboard where everyone tells us what their number is, and that's what I put on the show. You know, we've got a few minutes left, and she was talking about your son. How is he doing now?
He's a little better this week. He was in the hospital last week after a suicide attempt.
What? He tried to commit suicide last week?
Yeah, do I have time to tell a story?
You do. And okay. We've got 15 minutes left, but go ahead. Give us a briefing, and I don't want to cut you up, but he needs his voice, absolutely. And before you do, I'm going to tell everybody, we're going to do another show. We're going to have a backup show, and I'm going to have a surprise guest on our next show. So we're doing two episodes on bullying, the epidemic of bullying. But go right ahead, Lori.
Thank you, Rachel, for caring enough to help these kids that are so desperate for help that they're taking their lives. In third grade, my then 9-year-old son began to be bullied by a group of students in his class after he got glasses. He discussed it with me, and we're Christians, and I told him really bad advice. I told him to turn the other cheek, be kind back, and not hit back. Daily, they made fun of his glasses and anything else that they could think of, his weight. He was taking steroids for asthma. I was in cancer treatment and lost my hair, and they began getting around him and chanting, "Your mom's gonna die, your mom's gonna die." My son had been moved ahead of grade due to his intelligence, but he was still a head taller than all the other students, even though he's a full year younger. After lunch, a group of boys began jumping him every single day, trying to get him down on the ground, and he wouldn't go down for them. It was a game to them, but it wasn't for my son. He came home and cried every day, but he said, "I'm not going to cry at school. I'm not going to go down for them." If they could get him down, they kicked him in the face and stomach, broke his glasses. Finally, I went to the school and told the principal, and they began sending my son to the counselor with these boys and tried to make them be friends and make little friendship bracelets together. Meanwhile, I'm sorry.
Friendship bracelets?
Yes, this somehow is going to help them, not bully him.
Instead,
it ostracized him and made them angrier.
Sure.
Meanwhile, I put my son in karate and told him if they jumped him again and he didn't make them bleed, that he was going to get in trouble at home. The next time they jumped him, they kicked him in the face and stomach and cracked his rib. I insisted at this time that I wanted a police report. My son was suspended for one day in school suspension for holding his hands up to keep them from kicking him in the face. I called the parents of one of the children who was calling my son names and telling him I was going to die, and she laughed at me. During this time, the school filed a court thing to take me to school for tardies, even though they had a letter from my oncologist and they knew that I had, stage 2B cancer, had a mastectomy, and had heart failure and wasn't able to drive. I was getting friends and relatives to bring my kids to school, but they took me to court anyway. The insider of the bullying permanently expelled from the school, hallelujah. But when one of the boys returned from his in-school suspension of 2 days, only 2 days, he brought a long kitchen knife to school and told my son he was going to kill him. He told him he had brought one long enough to penetrate my son's fat stomach and get him in the middle. And my son told the teacher and was totally ignored. He went to the office and asked to use the telephone to call me, and they wouldn't let him. This was his last day of public school. They didn't even check the kid for the knife. They just totally blew me off. After that, I would go up there at lunchtime and sit and watch those same boys throw chunks of concrete at other children, nearly missing their head. I videoed it and was told that I better stay away from the school. Then they began to make threats to my then 6-year-old daughter.
Oh, my gosh.
We tried a charter school beginning of the next year. The boy who had been expelled, guess what? He's at the charter school. But to his credit, he came to my son and apologized to him, shook his hand, and never bullied my son again. But the story got around the charter school, and a group of kids in third grade began telling them they were going to break more than one rib this time. So that lasted about a week for my son. We then tried online public school, but his first assignment was a self-portrait, and my son spent days crying instead of doing a self-portrait. He had no self-esteem left by then. He then began refusing to leave the house, doesn't leave the house at all.
Do you have any counseling?
Well, we're trying. We don't have a counselor currently. We're changing doctors. We've had a lot of problem with counselors not showing up. The police department here in Richardson provided a program that's supposed to help children that have been bullied and bullies, but the counselor repeatedly didn't show up, and it made my son worse. so we're
that's
trying to find someone.
That's something that Michelle and I are talking about, having Warriors Against Bullying and having some of our warriors out there, whether it be law enforcement, firefighters, or military, start being mentors to these kids and helping them to rebuild themselves. That's something that we're starting out, and I think that once we get up and running, I think that we need to get you involved with and your son involved with a couple of our warriors too. And let
awesome.
Me see if I can't make that happen for you, okay? And let me after the show get my number from Michelle, and I'll get the area that you're in, and let's see what we can do for you. We've only got a few more minutes left in the show. I do want to bring you back on the show for our next segment.
Okay, I do want to say that the most positive thing in his life has been the Big Brother, Big Sister program. He has what's called a big couple, and they've really been advocates for him. But I want to say that after all this, I was really sick with cancer. I have heart failure. I began homeschooling my kids anyway. My daughter was begging to go back to school. She was so lonely, even though we were doing all the homeschooling stuff and the group mm-hmm. things and everything. About a month ago, I let her go back to school. They refused to let me transfer to a different school. I sent her back there. My son cried, "Please don't send her back there, Mom. She won't be safe." She was there about 2 weeks before they put a foster child in her classroom, and he touched her between the legs.
Oh, my God.
You know, very much, they just ignore it. That was the day that my son tried to commit suicide. He begged me not to let her go back. He was hospitalized for a week and diagnosed again with post-traumatic stress disorder. The school totally brushed what happened to my daughter under the rug and did nothing. I finally notified the police, and the principal lied to the police and said that we didn't report the incident to her. Of course, I didn't have anything in writing.
Well, let me ask you, when you say the counselors aren't showing up, you mean to your house?
No, I mean, we would go to the center and they wouldn't be there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
This happened 3 different times and it just devastated my son. So we're looking for something different.
Wow.
Counselors that will actually show up.
Well, we're going to give some other people time on the air here. So that I want you on for the next segment, okay? For the next show
okay.
that we come on, okay? Okay, last 4 digits of 3235. You're on the air.
Hi, my name is Becky.
Hi, Becky.
And yeah, my daughter, well, she's an adult now, but she was bullied, but she was in a wheelchair. She had spina bifida and stuff, and it was pretty horrible. I've actually moved from one county to another county where I put her in a disabled school, and she had to wear diapers to school. I even had her see a urologist at UCLA, and we did surgery so that she wouldn't have to wear diapers and so they wouldn't make fun of her.
Oh, my gosh, that poor baby girl. And, you know, one thing, I'm right here in North Carolina.
I'm in North Carolina, too.
Oh, girl, we're going to have to meet up.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm at Camp Lejeune.
Okay, well, I'm up here by Fort Bragg. And you know what? At warriorjam.us, guess what? We're having Warriors Against Bullying. We're going to have, if everybody comes out August 31st to Warrior Jam at the Festival Park in Fayetteville, North Carolina, we're going to have Warriors Against Bullying, and we're going to start setting up this mentorship with our warriors, with the children that have been bullied, and see if we can't get some mentors out there. We also have the Guardians Against Children. They're all for it. They're all here to help us, too. Look me up on Facebook, Rachel Jackson. Befriend me, and I can send you some resources. It would be great. And, Becky, thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you.
Okay, we've got – I can take maybe 2 more calls. They're going to have to be real short calls, but I'm going to take the last 4 digits of 2246. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I'd just like to say that we need to call our politicians and get them on the ball, because I've had a similar problem, but it wasn't with bullying. It was with a bus driver pursuing my daughter, and I went to the police, and the police did nothing. We went to court, and he got a year PBJ probation, so after a year, it'd be erased from his record altogether so he can start driving buses again. And I think the pedophile situation is majorly out of control as well. I've been, you know, in contact with my politicians, excuse me, in the area, and you know, federally and stuff like that. But I'd really like to get some petitions started and get some stuff done to where we can have laws passed, where we can handle these types of situations. Because as a parent, I couldn't do anything at all to protect my child. It's a state law requirement, you know, for you to put your child in school at 5 years old. But there's no law to protect my child from being molested or whatever could happen to her while she's gone away from me. You know what I'm saying? And I think,
absolutely,
you know, we all need to step up and be more responsible, more accountable, and, you know, make the police and everybody start doing more things that they need to do to straighten these things out.
Well, I think as a society, we need to start standing up and helping ourselves to making sure that our children are protected. We need to, as parents and as citizens in each community, they say it takes a village to raise a child.
Absolutely.
By all means, let's start being that village again. Where
that's
has
what
that
I'm
gone?
Saying. If all
everybody
of us step
in,
up to
go.
Do a little bit more, then maybe
I've
we can have
it,
that
it,
world
village.
That, you know, could be nice where our kids can go out and ride bikes again and stuff like that, because now you can't even let your kid go out and ride a bike because chances are they'll never come home.
Well, I tell you, when I was growing up in my neighborhood, if I had something a phone call to my mother before I even got in there, or my parents, what I did before. I mean, where are those people? We just had the three girls found in Cincinnati, Ohio. They were right next door for 10 years. No one knew anything. And, I mean,
absolutely. And Delaware is trying to take the death penalty off of the table. That's absolutely ludicrous. If they don't have the death penalty, the people are going to be going wild just doing whatever they want to do.
Well, that's a whole different issue in itself. But
well,
anyway,
I'm going to be honest with you.
More.
When it comes to pedophiles, I find it hard to think that somebody could be reformed from that. If you start thinking about children that way, I'm afraid of you, period. I'm sorry. There's no counseling in the world that can get somebody trusted after that, in my opinion. I'm sorry.
Right.
That's how I feel.
And, ma'am, we've only got 2 minutes left, and I want to at least take one more call, but I really appreciate you calling in. And we're going to do another phone call, or we're going to do another show. I love the response of every one of you tonight, and I love the passion that you guys have for this. And I hope that they at least make that guy register or something. That's horrible.
They're not, but I'm working on it, so.
You go, girl. You go.
I appreciate
you
having me on, though.
Oh, you take care, and God bless you.
Thank you. You too.
Okay, I'm going to take one more call. We've got 3 minutes left, and it's going to be a real short call. 0156, you're on the air. Go ahead. 0156, you're on the air.
Yes, hi, this is Angie Faggy from Indiana.
Hi.
My daughter was 14, and we had to move. We had to sell our home. We just passed a new anti-bullying law here in Indiana. My daughter got 4,000 signatures on her own. It's been a rough road for us. She has post-traumatic stress disorder. She was a cutter for a while. She got sexually assaulted by a boy. The school knew about it, and he has gone on to sexually assault 3 other girls at the school.
Oh, my.
The police would do nothing for us. We had our whole town of Whiteland, Indiana, basically against us. We had to sell our home. The home was getting broke into. My daughter was getting stalked, beat up at school. You name it, it was happening.
Bless her heart.
I have been trying to do things here in Indiana. I'm an advocate also with Bully Police. And my daughter, I saw my daughter deteriorate within 6 months' time. She wouldn't come out of her room. She wouldn't associate with people. She goes to a new school now. She's a little bit stronger, but she still doesn't make friends easily.
Right.
She has anger issues.
How
yeah,
can they contact you with the bullying police? How can we get a hold of you? We've got 30 seconds left of the show. Can you give us your information?
Basically, you can go to my webpage, bullypolice.com/bullying-for-a-change, and that is also my organization here in Indiana to help parents pass laws here.
Okay.
I'm very proud of the law that was passed.
Thank you so much. Michelle, are you still there?
Yeah,
yes.
I'm here.
Michelle, we
Yeah,
start,
I just wanted to say one thing to end to help the kids, because I know this has been really negative
and really sad. Michelle,
but,
we've got 30 seconds left. I need you to give the address, the link to where people can contact you.
Youthchampions.org.
Say again?
And I have a parent support tab.
Okay, and say that again.
Youthchampions.org.
Youthchampions.org. And go ahead, Michelle. We've got just a few seconds left.
Yeah, the only thing I wanted to say is don't internalize. Don't hold all this stuff in. Share it. If you can't share it with your school, if they're not supporting you, if your parents aren't supporting you, then contact an advocate. Contact us, and we will support you, and we will help you. And speak out. Don't hold it in, because that's how you get PTSD. That's how people commit suicide, is by not opening up. You're not alone. You're not the only one going through this, and it's not your fault. We love
you. And let me tell
you,
I want to say something to all the kids out there, too. We do care about you. And another thing, too, is you're beautiful. God does not make junk. God makes you in his vision, and God does not make junk. So you know what? Well, every one of you are beautiful. You're original. And you know what? We love you. And you have so much potential in your life. If you ever feel like that, go to Michelle, say the link one more time.
Youthchampions.org.
Go to youthchampions.org. Get a hold of Michelle or get a hold of Ron Facebook. Good night, everyone. We're going to make another show, and we will be announcing it. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you.